Well, certainly if I didn't already have a drinking problem, I'd be seriously in danger of getting one from this meeting alone. But fortunately not much risk of that. Now, there is a great tradition in the ITF, just by way of preface here, when an area director is leaving their position, of seeing how badly they can mess things up on the way out and what a huge, sprawling mess they can leave for their successors to clean up. And I guess in this instance, my legacy that I have left, for better or for worse, maybe it will be this RI reorganization. Now, the purpose of my talk here today is really just to make sure that everybody who's in this room knows what we're doing, that we can get any clarifying questions about what it is that we're talking about doing. And then this will tee up all the hallway discussion you guys can have over the next couple of days, as well as on the mailing list. And then on Friday, we can actually get substantive discussion about the issues and kind of what we've proposed here and whether or not it'll work, and decide whether or not we're actually going to do this. We are getting relatively close to a point of pulling the trigger on this. The indicators that would lead you to believe this are, first of all, that we have put 3427 bis into ITF last call. Now, we timed this intentionally to correspond with this meeting, to overlap with this meeting, so that we'd all have an opportunity to hear, this is in last call. If there's anything you want to say about this, this would be a good time to say it. And we have gotten some comments on it, and obviously it's not a perfect document. Some of its imperfections were injected by us. Some of them, of course, have been there all along, and we just never noticed before because we never really read the document. But we could definitely use more, I guess is the point. I'm sure that there are more bugs in there that we have not caught yet. And I do appreciate all the people who are catching bugs and sending things to us. We have gotten at least 5 or 6, I think, at this point, pretty good rounds of comments on it. Simultaneously with that, in case that was not enough excitement for everyone, we are also doing the external review of the SIP Corps and dispatch charters. Now, the way that 3427 was structured, it had a lot to say about SIP and SIPing. And, you know, when we cracked this open, it became obvious that, you know, if we were going to actually do the last call of RFC 3427 bis, it probably would need to coincide with the charters of the groups that it was actually describing, unless we just eliminated all of the meat out of 3427 to begin with. So this is also the right time to comment on those charters. They are out there. You can Google them, and they will come up, and you can check them out and see what they say. Discuss this at ri@itf.org. Mail us, mail itf@itf, as some people have. You know, wherever's really fine, just please make sure we do see it. But right here, of course, in person is our high bandwidth channel, so please do use it. Next. So let's talk a bit about the two working groups, and I'll see if I can actually outline what the plan is, what we're trying to do with each of these. So we've gotten a lot of feedback, including, in particular, from the chairs of the SIP working group, that SIP has a pretty large mandate, and that it's not an easy one to manage. I find this very easy to believe, just given the work products that come out of SIP. And accordingly, we've been trying to look at ways to get smaller and more focused efforts in RI. Now, I think that no matter what we do, we can't get rid of the need for a group that is going to be the central place where we discuss the core principles of SIP, that is going to be a long-lived group. And long-lived groups have their good and their evil to them, right? But having a place where we know if core issues arise, all the people who are stakeholders in this, whatever their special interest is in the RI community, are going to be able to get in this room and talk about the core issues and all be on the same page about what core SIP does is the significance of this working group. Now, that much said, we came up with a pretty arbitrary definition of what core SIP is for this purpose. We defined it as, you know, 3261 through 3265. And people have rightly pointed out that this is a completely arbitrary choice. And I can't argue with that, right? I mean, it's true, it is. You know, I think we could probably argue about any of those other than 3261, but the mandate of 3261 alone, I think, would certainly be too small. What is the mandate? Let me go into more detail about what exactly what we think the work in SIP Corps will be. This work will be anything that's going to update or obsolete any of these specifications. Now, as it turns out, a lot of specifications that are already out there have updated these already, and probably we should understand those to be included kind of through the principle of communitivity or something in things that would be covered in this. Now, this is something based on list feedback or private mail I received that I'm injecting into this. But you know, the scope has to include things that have already updated the core specifications, I think, as well as the core specifications themselves, or this will be an exercise in futility. It does state that the work that extends these documents will be standards track. I think that's pretty straightforward. You know, it does not today exclude the possibility of other work living in this group. It says, if you're going to update or obsolete any of those five specifications, it must be done in this group, but it does not say that no other work can be done there. And the reason for that is one of the things we're optimizing for is cutting down on a lot of unnecessary interworking between groups. What we don't want to do is have somebody start an effort that is going to update 3261, then discover that realistically this should split into two documents, one of which is, you know, informational or something, and one of which is more prescriptive and actually updates it. But because of this rule, that would then end up having to find a new home somewhere else, and then we'll go through this process that we've enjoyed for the last, you know, 5 years or so of trying to coordinate between these across working group interfaces, and we don't want that. So the notion was that we would not explicitly bar work outside of drafts that update those core documents, but rather to say, okay, if it ends up there, it ends up there, but you know, these are the things that we're focusing on for the charter. And we think that with this more limited scope, this should be a more manageable group. Certainly SIP's mandate today is much larger than SIP Core's is. I mean, much larger. And this will at least be less, we think. And any questions about kind of what we intend for SIP Core here? Does it seem coherent, what I've just described? Is there... Okay, next. Are you getting up, Spencer? Okay.
Spencer Dawkins, so just the thing on the absurd splits and things like that was basically, I think if you guys can write this so that there's still AD judgment as part of the process, I think that's going to be something we're going to be happier about rather than less happy. So sure. So just like I say, just, you know, the bright lines in the sand just don't seem to work for us on process stuff.
Sure. And you know, we kicked around at various times in considering process changes for the Rye area, doing things that would change the way the ITF worked. You know, doing like a July 14th or something, right? And we eventually decided that would be too heavyweight for what we really wanted to accomplish, at least in this initial incremental step. So obviously, if there are new milestones added to a charter, it is going to be with AD supervision. All the traditional things about how things get chartered apply. Dispatch. So dispatch has attracted a lot more attention, I think, and a lot more commentary from the community. I'm going to try to explain kind of my perception of it, and I certainly, this is one where we really welcome discussion. We don't want to screw this up, right? The last thing we want to do is to introduce a new process step that will actually lead to there being more hassle than there was previously to get a working group done. So let me talk about what the idea is behind dispatch. Dispatch replaces the sipping function with a function that is intended to take new ideas and figure out where they should be located within the Rye family of working groups. Now, it could be that a new idea, when it comes up, will fall within some existing charter, for example. If somebody said, there should be a way in SIP to convey location information, we would say, you know, there are people who are really studying location information in SIP. Perhaps that work should live where they are over in GeoPrint. It could be that, you know, we will have a discussion about some new capability that's needed, and it will be clear that there is no existing working group chartered that could reasonably take this work on. Well, this would be an instance where we would look at forming a new effort. Now, an effort might not necessarily be a working group. I guess this is kind of one of our fundamental principles of this. An effort to create work, I think, shouldn't be bound necessarily by the convention of a working group. We have, I think, some very positive examples in the history of the Rye area of ways that we have used other tools to get work done and have proven them effective, which I'll get back to in a moment. But that's another possibility. A new effort is required. And a new effort might entail a charter, BOF, you know, you tell me. And it's also the case that dispatch could study something and decide, we can't actually do this. This is interesting, but we can't figure out a good engineering approach. It's more research, or we've all talked about this, and this is actually a lousy idea. Please go, you know, stick your head in the sand for the next 2 years. And I think there should be a function that, can do that in the Rye area as well. If there's new work, we don't know where it lives, and it's controversial, or we don't think we can take it on, there should be a place where we can definitively say, we're not going to take this on. And that's a capability that, has been elusive, I guess I'll say. So what will it actually do? Okay, we've got a working group that is designed to be this dispatching function. What does it actually produce? This is something a lot of people have commented on, that this is too ambiguous, the way it's stated now. And we intentionally wanted to leave this at least somewhat open-ended, because we do think there are several different types of deliverables that might be able to satisfy the dispatch process and get what the community needs from it. This could be producing, for example, a charter. I mean, the result of the dispatch process could be a milestone that appears on their, you know, work items, could be produce a charter for this effort. Something that everyone's happy with, something that has consensus of the area. It could be, you know, this is a problem statement draft, a classic Ecker boxes and arrows document. How many times have we, you know, tried to understand a problem? We said, if we just had like a detailed, like, you know, architectural thing we could all read and agree on, that's the problem we're talking about, then it would be tractable and we'd know what kind of effort to point at it. Or it could be a radioactivity assessment. That is, this is the reason why you should never, ever do this. Like, unless you've got really compelling counterarguments to the following 7 points, please don't even go down this path. That kind of document could also be very valuable. These are all things I think it would be reasonable for dispatch to produce. And these are all things that are about the discussion, how you get consensus on what a problem is. Mr. Berger.
Eric Berger. So it's better than when I flamed last time, but I think I now get what set me off, which is we're conflating two things that have to be done. And there are things that have to be done. The thing that number one that needs to be done is we need a place where we can discuss stuff and figure out how to parcel out stuff that doesn't interfere with work that's ongoing. You know, like this is what SIPPING was about. It was supposed to be the place where we'd, you know, sort out the wheat from the chaff and pass on stuff. But then SIPPING got more and more and more work. And once we talk about, in a sense, we'll call it a work group because the IETF only understands how to do work groups, but it, in a sense, should never have a deliverable. Because once you have a deliverable, especially if that deliverable is a document other than a charter or something like that, then, so I'm a participant in this work group. Should I be working on this work item, like one of the things on the proposed charter is, you know, info events. Should I be reviewing the info events thing to get it published, or should I be thinking about whether this is something we want to do? They're two different things. And I would offer
that
we're basically recreating SIPPING with a different name.
I think the difference, Eric, is that none of those documents are PS, for example. None of these documents are actual standards documents. So I agree with you. If it took on info events, other than the grandfathering thing, we'll get to the disposition
right.
of existing work in a moment, but you know, leaving that aside, so, none of these deliverables are going to be protocol specifications.
We risk moving into substantive discussion, which we don't have time for.
Okay.
But that's a clarifying point.
That's right.
None of these things are actual technical specifications.
Right. Well, I will yield the floor.
Okay.
It's a sort of follow-up question to that, in saying that does this have to be internet drafts to actually do this? Could you actually put a slide set together and say, this is the problem statement from this slide set, and then from that we can actually maybe get a charter or work on from further on from that, rather than actually getting an internet draft and putting it in here and discuss it like they do at this moment in time? Is that your idea?
I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, I think that we tend to take slide decks pretty trivially here. I know I did this one in an embarrassingly small amount of time. But, so I'm not sure I put it as a charter deliverable. Anyway, Spencer, please.
Spencer, so I think I'm like Eric. I'm getting happier. So the thing that I wanted to ask where it was the possibility of a place for small efforts to go. I guess other areas have the model where they have an area open meeting and they have an area work, like TSV working group,
right.
You know, where, you know, it's like I can take this specification and just do that much. And I was curious where that appeared.
So that does not appear in this model, to be clear. That certainly is not dispatch. Dispatch is, I think, much more similar to, say, the apps open area than to TSVWG. So TSVWG does take on technical specifications and work and is a catch-all. Yeah. We could argue this, actually. I'm not sure that actually there are not threads that have run through TSVWG's charter forever, like RSVP. So I think TSVWG ended up taking on the work of defunct working groups and being the default place that you brought work for a working group that didn't exist anymore. And the RSVP work, the SCTP work, all these things like got funneled into there. So I think we want to avoid that for the area if we can. Just since you already spoke to that, do you want to speak to this particular point, Adam?
No, sorry, it was a separate question. I thought the topic was mostly winding down. Go for it.
If you want to go, I was just going to go into the double jeopardy things here, why I think it's not, but why don't you go first?
Okay, well, actually, my question was about that and is based on the text in front of the room here. So you might have a clarifying thing before I get to my question.
So the number one comment about this is, it sounds to me like you have to do a BOF and dispatch to then go on and have a BOF somewhere else. This is a perfectly reasonable comment, and if we implement this incorrectly, then that is precisely what will happen. Here's why I think it's possible to implement this correctly. And again, that's the great thing about being the departing area director, right? If it doesn't work, I can blame it on these new jokers. They didn't understand the right way this is supposed to work. But like the Apps Open Area meeting, today, if you went to, actually it was yesterday, if you went yesterday morning, you would have found a discussion there, for example, of MMOX, the BOF that is going to be happening next. Now, the fact that they had a discussion in Apps about it, it allows people that might not have been able to make the MMO BOF or might have not been exposed to the idea otherwise, had their opportunity to discuss it, and then they have a subsequent discussion tomorrow. Not immensely damaging, I think, to the work to have gone through that. And as the last bullet here suggests, if you look at any working group that we've chartered in the Rye area recently, how many of them have had ad hoc meetings pre-BOF? How many ad hoc meetings did we have for, say, the peer-to-peer SIP working group before it was formed that were not BOFs? Does anybody know? It's a number greater than 3, I suspect. Dean suggests maybe 5. So I don't think it is necessarily unusual for us as well to have meetings pre-BOF that we use to discuss what we're going to do in BOFs even. So I don't think this is some cultural shift that we're pointing to with this that's going to lead us into a whole new kind of process nightmare. We also have, you know, the notion that if we sit down and have a dispatch discussion about a charter does not necessarily lead to a working group. There are plenty of things that we would hold a BOF for, or maybe 2 BOFs for, that would count as a successful completion of an effort. A good example of this, one I hold up a lot in these discussions, is RTPSEC, where there was a specific problem we were trying to solve. We held BOFs where we all got together and talked about it. We submitted documents for these BOFs. We had a mailing list that was associated with it, but it never actually formed a working group. It made a decision that ended up spanning several working groups, and I think is actually a bit of a success story for us, of how you can take an effort, not chartered as a working group, bring it to BOF, and get things done. This is the kind of thing Dispatch could help us do to spin up the small efforts. Dispatch could be an incubator for that kind of, here's the problem, let's figure out how to solve it in a very bounded context. Not that those bounds we had, I think, were profoundly useful in the RTPSEC process. And of course, you know, a lot of things that happen in Dispatch may end up just pointing to existing working groups and charters. Adam.
Please expedite from here.
Adam Roach. And so you mentioned the Dispatch, you know, basically there was one deliverable coming out of that, and it did work very well for that kind of thing. What I'm wondering about, and I'm only asking because it's not on the slide here, is for efforts that are clearly going to have a slightly wider scope, it still need to move fairly quickly. You know, I have 3 or 4 documents, 3 or 4 deliverables. We want to put a working group together, put an effort out, and then close down fairly quickly. But a working group is more appropriate than a BOF. So under those circumstances, is there a clear path through here where you can actually have something in Dispatch and then meet 4 months later as a working group without having to go through a full BOF process dedicated to that group?
So I believe so. There is no constraint that forces us to hold BOFs.
Okay.
I mean, there's not. We hold BOFs for a number of reasons. Mostly, again, to let people have the opportunity to comment on this stuff, just as we're commenting on this right now. And I mean, I think it would be unfair to the community to never face the music. But I think it would be perfectly reasonable to say the face-to-face discussion about this evolving work would be at something like this. And if the charter is mature and there's consensus for it, it survives list discussions subsequent to that. I think there's no process grounds to object to that.
Okay. That's good. That's what I wanted to hear. I just wanted to make sure that that was out here as a point that everyone understood to be a valid path for getting a working group formed as part of this process.
Now, I would say, as a cautionary note, though, I would think that would be a rarity. and that the reality is much closer to there's two pre-BOF meetings, two BOFs before we have any consensus on a charter. Anyway. Yeah, next. So real quick, because we are already running low on time, of course, the big news in RFC 3427 BIS, the big change we make is the elimination of the p-header process. Yeah, thank you. So the elimination of the p-header process, and this is to Dan York if he's listening on the audio, does not, of course, deprecate existing p-headers or require them to change or something like that. This merely says that one shall not use this process going forward in the generation of new headers. Now, if you want a new header and it's informational, just go ask IANA. I mean, that's basically what this comes down to. You sure you can write an internet draft, but there's no stipulation that requires you to, which means, in other words, if you're from another standards body, like my good friends at 3QPP, they could certainly just go directly to IANA and say, here's our specification. We'd like a header that points to this. Done. Now, of course, we have asked for an expert review on this, and that's a different matter than, you know, the whole rigmarole that we have today. But there are some provisos on this, of course. One of the provisos is that these headers are purely informational in nature. This is a very complicated and ambiguous matter, actually. And there are ambiguities in all of this and room for judgment in all of it. When we say, for example, even in SIPCore, that a document that is, you know, going to be there must update or obsolete 3261 through 3265. Well, it's not like there's, you know, hard and fast rules about what updates something, right? I mean, that in and of itself is a judgment call. So there's a lot of judgment about what constitutes merely informational. We have a few straw man words about this in 3427 BIS, but please do read them and try to figure out if we're capturing anything remotely like what you think we need for this to work. Not related to security is another. Now, this also leaves many things untouched, right? There's a ton of IANA population rules that were not initially described in 3427, and we don't alter these in the slightest. Option tags, event packages, well, they are in there, but we don't alter them. URIs and header parameters, you know, all happen as they did in the past. And some people have asked, well, should we be doing things with option tags? That's something we should discuss on Friday. Any questions about any of this before we move on? I guess our position is, yes, we can examine option tags and all these things, and it may be that we won't alter those rules, but let's do that later. Let's do this first, do things in small moves, not get carried away. We're not going to fix everything at one time. So no questions about 3427 BIS. Next up. So the disposition of existing work, we promise no child will be left behind. I mean, that's pretty much all we can say. You know, if necessary, we will grandfather things onto the SIPCore and dispatch charters with the understanding, of course, that once those charters are in place, no new work shall be applied to them that does not conform to their current charters. Certainly some of this work will be farmed out to existing groups. Some of the things we're looking at now that we think are problem cases will become the initial cases for dispatch. I'm sure that's true. I mean, you know, some of the things we're looking at that we're like, how, we don't understand the right way to address this effort or something like that will end up there. Next. And that's it. I mean, again, this is not going to solve all our problems. There are a ton of other problems we have in the RAI area. One of them, fortunately, is going to be solved tomorrow evening, Wednesday night. But once that problem has gotten out of the way, you know, we can start looking at what are the other things that are causing delays and how we can reduce them. And we need to do this from the bottom up, not from the top down. We need you to tell us what the right ways are to approach this. And I certainly commend the work that Henning, Hannes, and Marcus did in their Reducing Delays document, which is a great start in this. And I virtually agree with everything in there is one of the causes. The problem is there's just so many. We need more community input like that. So please do read that document, see if it captures, in your view, what the things are that are critical, that are hurting us out there. And we'll do more as time goes on. Any other questions, comments?
Questions only.
Yeah, questions only, I guess.
Yeah, Stephen, I was going to, just a quick question. Have you thought about how long a topic will last in this dispatch group? So would it last, you know, four, five meetings, or are you talking about two meetings before you need to dispatch it out?
I mean, I wish I could you know, prescribe a hard and fast limit for that. I think that's problematic. I think some things we've been kicking around for years trying to understand what the right way is to address them. I'm not sure that we will solve that by solving our organizational structure. We may want to look at other ways of solving that problem once we have the organizational structure in place. Bernie?
Bernie Hoeneisen speaking. Question concerning the new process for p-headers.
I didn't quite understand what is the new process. Is that something similar as we did in Enum, or is it completely loose? Or
it's like Enum, yes, like Enum services.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
I just want to. My name is Sohel. Maybe I understood it wrong. Just to let me explain the way I understood. The core team is a bunch of engineers who's going to do all the C development, and the dispatch group is a bunch of project managers. Will tell the core people, do this, do that, do that, that.
No, not quite, actually. The dispatch group may direct a particular work effort to a working group, but they're not going to be providing requirements to SIP core, for example, the way that SIPing provides requirements to SIP. Their job is to define the efforts, and in the manner the efforts are defined, they may then have to go live in some particular group that already has them within the scope of their charter. But if there are no existing groups, then it would be spun out into some kind of a new effort.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, so the later discussion on this will be on Friday, so...
So think it over.
And if you've got any questions that you want to answer before then, the RAI mailing list, I guess, is the appropriate place.